Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Productivity Project. I don't know why I sound like a radio announcer at the start of every episode. I hope you guys are getting to the stage where you are able to start winding down and starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel that has been 2023. When I've been chatting to my fellow business owners and clients and different people that I chat to as I go about my day, including my toddlers, most people are feeling the same way. And it's a sense that 2023 was a bit of a shit show for a lot of us. And I think that's a really common feeling in both the business owner landscape, the 9-to-5 landscape, just the everyone landscape. 2023 was challenging. There has been a lot on for most of us in 2023. And when I say this, I'm aware that I'm saying this from a position of pretty privileged life. I am definitely not Lachlan Murdoch. Gosh, I don't know why I picked him. Anyway, but I have a lot of privilege that I bring to this podcast and everything that I am able to do on a daily basis. So when I say that life has been hard, it has, relatively for me and people like me. I think it's important to acknowledge that. But with December often comes a period of kind of slowing down, and usually I find that most of us kind of crawl to the finish line. We crawl to Christmas and we are really in need of that break. And every single year, I feel like I use this as a signal to myself to say, hey, if you are feeling this drained at the end of the year, then you seriously need to evaluate how you move through your year from January to November, because I feel like a lot of us are in this pattern of kind of top loading our year. I talked about this on a reel or a story I think I posted on Instagram the other day. And it's this idea that we are conditioned to work in this work first, play later way. And we do that to the extreme throughout the year. So often, even with a 9-to-5 or as a business owner, we can tend to top load our year where we will say, okay, we're going to work January to November and then we rest in December. And it's just makes it all really unsustainable as we move through the year. And that's why a lot of us can kind of get to the stage of hitting burnout or being really exhausted and feeling like we need to kind of pick ourselves back up at multiple points through the year. And with that, kind of leads into the topic of today's episode. I wanted to just kind of have a little bit of reflection and evaluation on how much we have to do. And the reason I wanted to talk about this today is I was listening to a podcast episode. It was Kate Toon's podcast, Six Figures in School Hours. This is a podcast she produces to accompany her book she's released, Six Figures in School Hours. If you haven't read it yet, I definitely recommend you read it. This is not a sponsored podcast. It's basically just a recommendation for all business owners out there with kids. If you are looking for a really practical book on how to actually make it work without all of the bullshit and the fluffery that sometimes comes with Instagram, buy the book. Anyway, I was listening to a podcast episode that she released. I think it was a solo episode, or maybe she was interviewing someone. Anyway, and she was at one of her book launches and signing a book for a client that was chatting to her. And the conversation was basically like the woman was telling her, you know, I don't know how you do it all, and I have this to do, and I have this in my business, and I have kids, and, you know, I feel really overwhelmed every day, and, you know, your book was really helpful. And Kate said she looked up and said to her, I think you just have too much to do. I don't think it's a matter of being able to do it all. I think you just have too much to do. And that's why you can't do it all. And it really kind of clunked for me. Something clunked in my head. Like, I guess other people would say the penny dropped. I would say something clunked. And I thought, do you know what? I think often we can buy the online course, or we can buy the book, or we can listen to the podcast, or we can download all of these things online, myself included, to help us ultimately be able to do all the things we want to do. And I think sometimes we can see ourselves as flawed. We can see ourselves as having, you know, this problem that we need help with. We need to buy a course or we need to download something to help us with the problem, which is ultimately that we cannot do it all and we want to do it all. And wanting to do it all is fine. Like, that's great. But I think often just recognizing, hey, maybe we just have too much to do in the season of life we're in. And that is why we are struggling to be able to do it all. Not because we are inherently flawed, not because there is something wrong with the way we are doing things, although there is always room for help. I'm not saying there is not. Online courses and downloads and books are very helpful and they've helped me, as have podcasts. And obviously you guys are listening to this podcast because you find it helpful, or hopefully you do anyway. But there is something really powerful in just acknowledging that in certain seasons of our lives, sometimes we just have too much to do. And that can either be by choice because, you know, we are really passionate or excited about different projects and we want to try and do it all straight away and we want to grow our businesses and we, you know, we want to spend time with our kids and we want to be healthy and, you know, we have a lot that we want to do. And sometimes it can be because we feel pressure to do it all. So, you know, we see other businesses on Instagram that appear to have made, you know, millions of dollars in 3 seconds. Or we see a business owner that looks like she's able to spend, you know, 8 hours a day with her kids and 1 hour a day working. And we wonder why we can't do that. Or, you know, we see someone who might be super active and super healthy and also, you know, juggling a multi-million dollar business and, you know, sipping pina coladas by their pool and not really doing very much for most of their day. And we wonder why we can't do that. And I'm not going to go down the road of talking about comparisonitis on social media because I think you and I know that there is a problem, and myself included, I will scroll social media and compare. So I'm not going to talk about that today. But what I did want to share with you today, before you buy another planner, before you buy another online course for next year, or before you download something else, or, you know, before you implement a, you know, a new productivity method, or, you know, a new way of managing your time that you are definitely going to stick to in 2024, before you do that, I wanted to take you through a little bit of an evaluation exercise to show you and give you clarity on whether you simply do just have too much to do. Because the realization that you do have too much to do is really powerful, and it can break that cycle of feeling like you need to buy another planner to fix things, or you need to, you know, implement Pomodoro, or you need to subscribe to this other productivity method, or there's something else that you've got to do, or something you've got to change about you or the way you do things. And instead, looking at what the things are that you are doing, what you have on your plate, and evaluating what you can let go of for now. I'm not talking about forever. To create a way of working and moving through life that is sustainable for you in 2024. So let's jump into it. The first thing I want you to do when you are in your little evaluation exercise, the first thing we need to have in place, number one, is a big place to keep all the things you have to do. So if you don't already have a central place, and it doesn't have to be fancy, it can be pen and paper, it can be online. I like to keep it digital so that I know that I can move things around, I can format, I can do all the things with them. But have a big place to keep all the things that you have to do and start writing them down. So if you don't already, start writing down all the things you have to do or all the things you want to do. So it might be, you know, you start writing down all of the tasks you have inside your business or all your client tasks. And you likely, if you're a service provider, you'll have some form of this anyway. but really just making it a big central place for all of the things you want to do as well. So say you want to do yoga every day, or you would like to spend, you know, a dedicated hour every morning with your kids. Write those things down, keep them all in a big central place so that you can see it on paper and that it's out of your brain. So this really helps with those little extra goals or things that aren't, you know, list related, like work related. So if it is, you know, you always have a vague sense in the back of your head, like, oh yeah, I want to do yoga. And then it, you know, months have passed and we haven't done yoga. And I say we, because this has happened to me day after day after day. Often it is because there is nothing written down anywhere. And that is not the complete solution, but it is a really good first step. So writing that down as a goal that you want for your year or for, you know, your day to day, even if it's 10 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever it is, will really help you in being able to see it and get it out of your brain. So it's not just like this swirling arbitrary thing that you may want to do one day. So you've got your big place to keep all the things you have to do. The second step in your evaluation exercise is starting to look at how long things take you. So this is not about meticulously tracking your time. I have chatted about time tracking on a previous podcast episode. I think it's episode 19, where I talk about how to stop micromanaging your time. So I don't want you to track every single minute of your time, or, you know, this is not an exercise in seeing how much time you spend on social media or like how much time you're wasting in inverted commas, because this is about looking at realistically getting a sense of how long the things you are doing on a day-to-day basis or the things you need to do take you. Because often we can have a picture in our minds or an idea in our minds of how long we think something takes us, and it'll either fall into two buckets. It'll either be it takes you way longer than you think and you are simply not dedicating enough time to get the thing done, or it doesn't really take you as long as you thought, and number one, it's a bonus, and number two, you are maybe falling victim to a little bit of Parkinson's law, which is the law that says your task will take you as long as the time you have allocated. So as you move through your workday and you work on, you know, tasks for a client, or maybe it's even your own newsletter, or, you know, brainstorming or creating your social media content or whatever it is, start to really look at how long things are taking you and write it down. Have somewhere in your big place where you keep all the things, have somewhere that you can note how much time tasks are taking you so that you can start to get a clear idea of what is actually realistic and sustainable for you. So you might be trying to achieve things that literally do with the systems and the capacity that you have in your current season. I'm not saying there is nothing you can do to change this, but in your current season, you might be trying to do things that literally do exceed the physical time you have available. So in my next episode next week, I will be talking about what you can do if that is happening to you. But for this week, we're just evaluating, because data and knowledge is power. So that's the second area to evaluate in our little exercise this week. So the third area that I want you to look at, so that the things that you actually have to do on a day-to-day basis align with the season of life that you are in. So before I talk about the three steps to evaluate this, what I wanted to talk about as an overall theme before we look at whether we do have too much to do is, if you can think of this as like a little reminder or like a mantra, if you wanted to be like really, you know, fancy about it, start noticing. So the biggest thing I tell my clients when I run my one-on-one productivity sessions or when I run productivity workshops is start noticing. Start noticing the little things that are happening through your day. So even if it's noticing how long something takes you, you know, it might be that it took you longer than you thought it would, and that's therefore going to affect how much of that type of task you're able to do through your week. It might be noticing how many times you pick up your phone a day. And it's not about being really like stringent and strict with yourself. It's more just the approach I like to refer to as mindful productivity. So being really mindful and aware of what is happening through your day that might be affecting you being able to do what you really want to do. And it doesn't have to mean just noticing, you know, all of these like stringent work tasks that you do or don't get done. It's more about observing, you know, I wanted an hour with my kids this morning. Did I get that? If I didn't, why? And just getting really curious about why things may or may not be aligning with the plan that you had set out for your day or the intention you'd set for your day. And it's not about berating yourself. It's not about feeling terrible at the end of the day because you didn't have the hour with your kids or you didn't get what you said you were going to do done. But the start of making any change across any area in your life really begins with noticing what is happening right now for you. So with that in mind, the first step in our little evaluation exercise is, if you don't have this already, create a big place to keep all the things you have to do. So whether this is written down, and I don't normally recommend written down because it's kind of harder to navigate. I find it's harder to navigate. And for most clients and most people, it is harder to navigate, you know, pages and pages of written tasks that might be scribbled, you know, among meeting notes or like journal entries or shopping lists or whatever it is. I like to organize everything that I have to do digitally, whether that's even just, if you're starting out, even just dump it in a Word document or dump it in a spreadsheet, whatever you feel comfortable doing. This is not about creating something else that's really complicated for you to do every day. It's just about getting all of the things you do out of your brain and on paper so that you can clearly see exactly what it is that you are battling every day. And most of the time when people start doing this, it's a real eye-opener when it comes to, you know, the way they feel about, you know, what they've been able to achieve every day or what they've been able to do. It's kind of like this big realization of, oh my God, I am trying to do all of that. No wonder I feel like I'm falling behind. Oh, no wonder I'm, you know, not achieving what I wanted to achieve. No wonder I feel like I'm not living the life that I wanted to live, because look at what I'm trying to pack into every single day. So that is the starting step, is start by implementing, creating a big place to keep all the things you have to do. It's literally just somewhere to write things down as you think of them or as you do them, or you know, that might be, you might already have a planner or a to-do list that you work from. It's just about making sure that that is always populated with the things that you know that you have to do. And it can even just be, it doesn't have to be tasks that you need to tick off. You can also add in, hey, I want to spend an hour with my kids every evening or every morning. I want to do 10 minutes of yoga, you know, at lunchtime. Add those things in and build a really clear picture of what your day looks like, what your week looks like. So after we've got our big place, the second step in our little evaluation exercise is starting to look at how long things are taking you. So I've talked about time tracking before. I talked about time tracking in last week's episode, or it might have been episode 19. So if you are interested in listening to my feelings on time tracking and why I don't think it's a great idea when it comes to productivity, go and listen to episode 19. It will really help you. But for now, we're going to look at how long things are taking us when we are looking at, when we're working through work tasks. So this is not about tracking every single minute of our time. This is not about, you know, writing down that we scrolled social media for 7 minutes and then we went to the toilet. Like, this is more a tool to use to audit how long our work tasks are actually taking us. And we can also be really curious when we're doing this, if we are, you know, say we're sitting down to write a newsletter for a client, and if we are, you know, picking up our phones, I don't know, 3 or 4 times through that process, or we're kind of, I don't know, gazing off into the distance or whatever you're doing, and you're not a robot, so doing those things is totally fine. But it's just about noticing, okay, those things are happening, or maybe they're not even happening. Maybe I am really focused, but it's still taking me, you know, 2 hours to do, and I thought it was taking me half an hour. Okay, there's a huge discrepancy here. So It's just about noticing, starting to document how long things are actually taking you. And this will give you a really good set of data around the tasks that you're doing every day and the things that you're doing every day. So, for example, this isn't even work related. I was scheduling in my calendar. I drop my girls to childcare twice a week because my husband will drop them on the other 2 days that they go. And the days I was dropping them, I was scheduling in my diary every morning half an hour for drop off. But I would often get home and be like, oh, okay, gosh, I've already like eaten into my next scheduled thing, or I'm late for my meeting, or whatever it is. And I would repeat this day after day. And then one day I sat down and I looked at my calendar and I was like, why am I scheduling half an hour for drop off? Drop off does not take me half an hour. And often we do this because we just want something to not take as long as it does. So I love my kids, but drop off is a thing where I kind of just want to drop the girls to daycare and I want to come home and start my work so that I can go and pick them up again and, you know, have them at home. And I've been as productive as I can be. But when we want something to take a certain amount of time, we can often unconsciously schedule that amount of time for the thing, even if the thing doesn't take that amount of time, even if it takes us 45 minutes or an hour instead of half an hour. So that's an example of where often we can be scheduling our calendars. If you do time blocking, or you know, you have another way of managing your calendar, maybe you use an online calendar or whatever it is that you do, often we can schedule things into these time blocks and the time block is just not long enough. You know, the time we've allocated is just not enough, and we're pushing ourselves and berating ourselves because, you know, writing a newsletter has not taken us half an hour. It takes us an hour, and that's okay. It's just about acknowledging, okay, a client newsletter will take me an hour to write. So therefore, I need to schedule an hour and I need to communicate that to my client, and I need to ensure that if I'm taking on more client projects, or, you know, my client has asked me to, you know, do these other 5 things this week, that maybe 2 of those things will be done next week because this is the realistic amount of time that these tasks take. And as a side note to this, there are absolutely systems and processes that you can install within your day-to-day, within your business, within your working, your way of working, that can optimize what you do, optimize your workflow, and help you get things done without spending hours on them. This episode does not cover that. So this is merely an evaluation exercise for you guys to do, just to really make you aware of exactly how long things are taking you, and to kind of open our eyes to the fact that we really are juggling a lot and we are trying to do a lot, and we are probably trying to cram too much into every single day and every single week, which is why we're feeling so overwhelmed. So the third thing that we need to do in our little evaluation exercise is think about what we actually need to be able to sustain our current way of working. So often if we do our calendar like Tetris, or, you know, if we are working our calendar week like we used to when we were in our 9-to-5, or if you had an office role, you might have managed your calendar in this way, we will be looking at the blocks of hours that are there and we'll be like, oh yeah, cool, I've got 8 hours, I can do this, 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 boom, 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 and we'll block out our calendars back to back with no room for breaks, or it might be like you have a lunch break chucked in there somewhere, but otherwise your calendar is pretty much back to back for the week with, you know, tasks or meetings or whatever it is you might be doing. And you think, okay, yeah, on paper I've got 38 hours in the week, or if you work part-time you might have 20 hours, and yeah, 20 hours, I've got, you know, that's heaps of time. But we are not robots. You cannot be in a state of productive flow or creativity, or, you know, whatever it is that we're referring to, for 8 hours a day. There are a few different studies out there about this, but most studies say, have shown when we've studied people who, you know, in work environments or, you know, working through an 8-hour day, for example, most studies have shown that we can generally only be productive, in inverted commas, or, you know, actually doing meaningful work or producing work for about between three and five hours a day, depending on the study you look at. So that kind of shows us that we need other ingredients in our day to be able to sustain our way of working or to be able to sustain us through the week. We are not robots. So it's not even about just like making sure we have a lunch break or making sure we have a coffee break. It's about looking at what do I need for my brain to feel good, for my brain to be able to focus, and for me to be able to do the things that I want to do in the least amount of time I need to do them. What do I need to make that happen? And usually we think it's more hours, but it's just not. More time does not equal more value. More time does not equal more productive. Slogging away for 8 hours a day or more is generally just going to leave you feeling, you know, at best a vague sense of like disenchantment and fogginess as you move through your week, and at worst burnt out because you are trying and pushing to align with this unrealistic expectation that we have lived with for years and years and years in society, that we should be able to produce at maximum output for 8 hours or more a day, and it's just not the case. So thinking about what you actually need to sustain you through the week will really help you in fleshing out your picture of what your week could look like. So for example, to be at my most creative self, I generally need to do my creative work in the morning because that is when my brain is most alert and most alive and I'm feeling, you know, the freshest. And to do my most creative work, I usually need a little bit of time between, you know, breakfast and kids and all of the things that happen in the morning. I need a bit of space. After I get home from dropping my kids to childcare, I need what I call white space. Basically, space for my brain to just decompress. I usually go and make a coffee and I sit outside. I try not to look at my phone because I feel like looking at my phone is just a number one way to exhaust my brain and deplete any creativity that was there. And I look at the trees and I take 15 or 20 minutes. And that is something I need to sustain me to be able to produce my best creative work, or to have the best shot, or prime myself for being able to be in a creative state. And sometimes it still doesn't happen. Sometimes, for whatever reason, you know, if I've had an interrupted night, or I've got a lot on my mind, or, you know, I've got some meetings coming up later that I'm thinking about, sometimes it won't always happen. But without that white space, I have no chance of sitting down and being at my most creative self. And that's not to say I can't produce anything or I can't do anything if I don't have that space. But you are going to find, if you give yourself and equip yourself with the things that you need, whether it's breaks, exercise, you know, eating properly, getting enough sleep, even just like spending some time with a friend or doing things that you enjoy, if you are not prepping yourselves and priming yourselves with those things, you are going to be trapped in this cycle of working, you know, more hours than you want to every single day, because you are never priming your brain to enter into that flow state and to be able to, you know, produce the things that you want to produce in the shortest amount of time that you need. So that is my little three-step evaluation exercise. So number one is implementing a big place to keep all the things you have to do, getting everything out of your brain and onto paper, or preferably in some sort of digital format somewhere. It doesn't have to be complicated. It could be a Word document or a spreadsheet, just somewhere where you can see, okay, wow, this is what I have to do. These are all the things that I'm trying to juggle right now. Number two is starting to evaluate how long things actually take you. So it's about looking at your time to task ratio. So how long are things taking you? Are things taking you less time than you think? Or are things taking you way longer than you have planned for? And number three is, what do you actually need to sustain you, to sustain you throughout your week? What are the things that you need to make sure that you have, that you do every day or every week to prime yourself for being able to be productive in the time that you want to be productive without blowing out to, you know, these 8 to 10 hour or more work days, and making room for those things. So then by the end of those three steps, you should have a really clear picture of, okay, wow, I have way too much to do, way too much that I'm trying to fit in. Or it might be that you feel a lot calmer and clearer about, okay, it's not as overwhelming as I thought. I can see it all. I feel like I can map it out. And this is a really good starting point. So that's this week's episode, guys. I hope you enjoyed it. I really hope you get some clarity from our evaluation exercise. If you enjoyed this exercise or anything came up for you, please let me know. I would love to hear from you. You can send me a DM on Instagram at cathunter.va. If you enjoyed this episode, you think somebody else would benefit from it, please send it to a friend and share it with someone who you love. Otherwise, I will chat to you again next week. It'll be our last episode for the year next week, which I'm so excited about. And we will definitely be back for 2024. So tune in next week, guys, and have a beautiful week ahead.